All right.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
I'm Jane.
And I'm Allison.
And how are you, Allison?
I'm good. Yeah. I've been doing nothing.
Yeah.
DoorDashing.
You're a DoorDash driver now.
DoorDash driver.
And no matter how many times I apply, they always say that there's no jobs.
Which I don't understand if maybe I just got lucky and applied at the exact right time.
Yeah.
That they, like, had one opportunity.
I've applied like 4 times, and every time it's like, there are no positions open in your
area.
That's
so weird. I even sent you the link because I was like, maybe you're just like applying at the wrong place. But nope.
Nope. Yeah, every time. It's very weird. But apparently, I'm on a waiting list, though.
Apparently. We'll see.
Yeah. See if I.
There's already like not enough jobs for me.
Exactly.
I do like 3 deliveries per day. I mean, granted, that's like 3 good paying deliveries. I could do more if I took like. Bad paying things.
Yeah.
But it's literally like, hey, you want to get paid $3 to drive 40 minutes round trip? No, I don't. That's definitely not worth it to me.
Not interested.
So I only pick ones that, like, obviously pay
a
little bit more. All right, this week, or wait, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. It's a little too hot for me at the moment. I actually read an article on BBC, and I was like, that's a pretty reliable source. Saying that, like, in, like, 10 years, summers might get too hot for people.
That's not shocking.
Not at all.
I mean, in, like, the Netherlands and stuff, over the past, like, 5 years, they've had a really big crisis because most people in the Netherlands don't have air conditioning in their homes because it never gets above, like, 80 degrees.
Yeah.
And so they don't need them. But this summer, it was, like, over 100, like... almost every day.
That's horrible.
And none of them have AC, like, anywhere.
Yeah.
So they were just, like, people were, like, dying, like, left and right from, like, heat stroke and stuff.
That's terrible.
I know. People are, like... Listen, here's the thing. Climate change, too, like, I think something that's interesting that we're seeing is, like, the shifting of what is cold and what is hot.
Yeah.
Like, it, like, snows in LA now.
Yeah,
and you're like,
sure.
Well, that's
not
right. It's not supposed to snow in LA. But then also... The Netherlands is getting 100-degree summers. Like, it's interesting, people are like, it snows, it's not global warming. And then you're like, well, what about the fact that every summer has been getting hotter for the last, like, 20 years?
Yeah. You can't argue with that.
I know. I'm like, that is what's happening.
Yeah.
Like, just because
it's going to keep getting
just
hotter.
Just because it does get cold. Also, not only that, but, like, seasons are shorter now.
Yeah.
Like, we have more, I shouldn't say, like, seasons are shorter, but... Like, fall and spring specifically, the mild seasons
very
are shorter.
Short, yeah.
We have, like,
especially
more
in, like,
intense.
The Midwest.
Yeah, we have more intense weather longer,
mm-hmm.
and obviously more natural disasters and such, and the like. So good.
So great. Love
so
being alive right now.
Love being alive right now. Never wanted to be alive more. I wish I was, like, 50 in the 90s, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
No, maybe not. I don't know. It's, like, a good... I think 90s is, like, the best time to be, like, 20.
I feel like everyone was just so carefree in the 90s. And
well, it's, like, there was stuff going on, but it, like, wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
And, like, we would have had a great time in the 90s.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It would have been good to be 20 years old in the 90s.
Very true.
Like, early 90s. Which means you, like, grew up in the 80s, but, like, now you got cell phones.
Yeah.
Instead, it's,
maybe
like...
John Mulaney's age.
Yeah, but we would be millennials, which sucks.
Yeah, well, we're on the cusp.
I know, we're in the worst year.
We're 97, 98.
Absolute worst year. Worst years.
It's the cutoff between Gen Z and
yeah, so, like, technically we're Gen Z, but also, unless you were, like, just the richest person on the planet, you basically still had the millennial upbringing.
And, yeah, we lived in, like, you know, middle America, and, you know, we're not wealthy at all.
Yeah, so it's, like, you have... I still didn't receive a cell phone.
Exactly.
I was like...
I had a flip phone for emergencies when I was
when
like
I was
10.
Like 13, I was allowed to have a flip phone for emergencies, yeah. But then it's like, I didn't receive an iPhone for...
Yeah.
I think I was 16.
I think I might have been 15.
When I got my iPhone. Which is like... That's... not that long ago.
No, and that's
I
like,
mean, I feel like I've had an iPhone forever, but...
Kids get iPhones so young now.
Someone... Like, 3.
Yeah.
I think I got my first iPhone when I was 16. And the iPhone had obviously been out for a long time at this point. I think the iPhone, the first generation of iPhone maybe came out when we were in the 6th grade or something like that. Because my first iPhone was the iPhone 5.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think that was my first as well.
But I still think that was maybe the second generation
of
iPhone.
So.
It sounds like, wow, 5 generations of iPhone. That was like the second iPhone.
Yeah.
And then I did have an, like, one of the iPods that was touch.
I also had an iPod, like, way before I had.
Which was, like...
Just for music.
It was basically like a phone.
Yeah.
But you needed the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I basically had that. And I did mainly use it for music, but I did games and things. Mm-hmm. And I had Kick.
Yeah.
And Instagram and stuff. I think I got Facebook. Wasn't allowed to have Facebook till I turned 13.
Same.
So I got Facebook at 13. I mean, I had a good significant portion of my childhood was not internet-based.
Yeah, yeah.
But then also there's a good portion of my formative years which are internet-based.
It's very weird, like, mix of everything.
Yeah, I wasn't, like, an adult when the internet came to me, but I also wasn't, like, a little kid either. So it's definitely, like, a weird place to be. Because you're like, I don't belong anywhere. I get both sides.
Me too.
I can be both sides. TikTok kind of scares me, but I'm still sort of into it.
Listen, sometimes you come across gems.
I know. Listen, TikTok is basically Vine, and
sometimes there are Vine, really, really good ones.
And I miss Vine so much.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it does scare me.
Yeah.
Because dancing TikTok is very scary.
I hate it so much.
It's very intimidating.
I hate it.
And I don't want to accidentally pull myself into that world.
Yeah.
And I think it might.
I'm on it for
Fan cams scare me.
Yeah, that is scary.
I really did not ever know. People kept saying, oh, fan cams. And I was like, I don't know what a fan cam is. And I'm kind of scared to ask what a fan cam is. And I recently figured out that they're those compilations of, like, people.
Mm-hmm.
And I only figured out because some K-pop person posted a fan cam, and I was like, these videos. And then someone under it was like, I'm so sick of the K-pop fan cams. And I was like, so this is a I also don't like fan cams. All right.
I love the cat videos. I watch a lot of those.
Mm.
And sometimes you come across really funny ones.
I like the humor's good.
I like the Avatar The Last Airbender ones. Those are very funny.
But I just also like the other day. Okay, I might get some hate from the TikTok crowd if they listen to our podcast here. But the other day, and this is still happening, and I haven't looked into it that much, mainly because I think it's so stupid and I refuse to, like, waste my time actually researching what happened exactly. But apparently some TikTok witches, which just to me is the dumbest statement
that's ever
been made. The TikTok witches tried to put a hex on the moon, and people were like, the Fae are gonna come after you, and you're upsetting them, and the moon is gonna be... And I was like, are y'all actually serious? Is this serious?
The aliens are gonna explode from the hollow moon.
They were like, the Fae, you're upsetting Apollo. And I was like, is this real? Do people really believe in fucking Apollo? Because you guys, what, read the Percy Jackson books?
Watch Twitches.
It's not real! I was like, okay, like, I understand... Being a Wiccan,
yeah, definitely
isn't the same thing as, like, being a witch.
Yeah, Wiccans, like, they're in tune with nature.
Nature, yeah, they, like, believe in nature and like
the power of, like, worshiping Mother Earth, that type of stuff.
Right, and, like, I kind of get that.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't get the people that genuinely think, like, magic is real.
Yeah.
I was like, no, like... I even believe, like, I don't know if I believe it, but I believe that, like, manifestation isn't, like, that far out there. I think, like, if you truly think something can happen, then maybe you'll, like, fulfill that own prophecy.
It's like vision boards. The only reason boards work is because you're always seeing it, and that so makes you, like, motivated to do something. It.
Exactly. It's, like, the same reason.
Like, subconsciously.
It's not, like, I hope people understand that, like, manifesting something isn't magic. It's, like, a psychological trick to make you a better... It's, like... Why they tell football players to, like, visualize winning before you go out there. And, like, statistically, you'll win more if you visualize winning. That's not because the visualization of winning makes a magic spell that makes you win.
It just makes your brain.
It just makes you more likely to, like, work hard and believe in yourself, which having confidence makes you better.
A huge part of treatment for depression is, like, when you're in the middle of depression, is, like, visualizing yourself getting out of that depression.
Yeah.
And, like,
that's manifesting.
Makes you feel like you can do something.
And I think manifestation works, like...
It's a psychological trick.
To the extent that, like, you believe it works.
Yeah.
But it's not...
Magic.
Real magic. Like, and I kind of feel like...
It's just tricking your brain.
I kind of just feel like Twitter has been like, manifest this, manifest that. It's going to, like, work. It's going to make things happen. I'm manifesting that I'm going to make $100,000 this year. And then it, like, works because, like, not because they wrote a tweet where they were manifesting $100,000, but because they went and got a new job that paid them a lot and they worked super hard and did some side gigs, whatever. But I feel like the young ones on Twitter are like, wow, if I tweet
to manifest this, it's gonna happen.
Or like, I'm sure you guys have seen this, if you have Twitter, I'm sure you've seen this chain where like people are like, wow, it would really suck if I met Justin Bieber, and then they post a picture like later with them meeting Justin Bieber. I feel like people always post that when they have like, when they know they're gonna be meeting Justin Bieber. Yeah. They're like, I either have a meet and greet or I'm gonna be somewhere where he is, and my chances of meeting him are way higher. Like, I can't just post like right now, would really be a shame if I met Idina Menzel today, and then like I'm gonna go into a coffee shop and meet Idina Menzel. I'm in the middle of Joplin, Missouri, and there's no way I'm going to meet Idina Menzel. But I feel like it's like
if you go to New York and you know that she's in New York.
And then it's like, if I go see like a show she's in New York, and then I stage door, I might, my chances of meeting Idina Menzel like exponentially go up.
Yes.
Like, if I know where Idina Menzel lives in New York and I hang around the subway by where she lives, I might run into her.
Yeah.
It's like, but I don't like these ideas of, like, I feel like people think that it's, like they're not being, like, disingenuous. Like, people are honestly accidentally running into these celebrities with no
idea.
No part of what their action is doing increasing their chances. Yeah. Like, they're just going about their normal lives, and for some reason, you know, Harry Styles is in the Starbucks you're in. Like, that's not happening. This isn't some weird, like, fan fiction. It's not, that's not what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's, and this is how I feel which TikTok became a thing. And it's like, I believe that, like, if you feel good about things around you, or if you associate things, like, I'm gonna say, like, crystals.
And like, if they comfort you and you like
I think crystals are, like, a great example of this, because I don't think crystals do shit.
No.
But I think if you have really positive associations with crystals, and you fill your home with things you have positive associations with.
It's like plants.
Yeah, then, like, you're probably gonna be happier at home. You're probably gonna feel better. And if it's, like, a thing that calms you down is, like, the way this rock feels or the way it looks, like, you're gonna be having a better time if you have, like, some sort of symbolic calming thing.
Yeah.
But that's, like, the exact same thing as having a baby blanket that chills you out. Like, it's the literal exact same thing. And I feel like people are like, well, crystals are magic because they make me feel good. And you're like, no.
You have a positive association with them, and that makes you feel
good. Crystals are rocks, and you, like, projected emotions onto them, and you're reaping that emotion back.
Which is fine.
It's good. It's good for you. It's, like, a good trick, but, like, you're not magic. And the fact that apparently thousands of girls think they are magic is exhausting to me. The fact that people were legitimately, and are legitimately worried that people have done something to the moon.
Yeah.
Because, like, the moon was a little brighter or something than normal. It's like, well, that is exhausting that you actually truly unironically believe that. Because, of course, that didn't happen. That's like, this is literally like back in the day, if you were like an astronomer, but nobody else was an astronomer, nobody even knew about astronomy, and you were like, oh yeah? Well, you're pissing me off. So tonight, I'm gonna make the moon disappear. And you knew there was gonna be, like, an eclipse, and then everyone was like, holy shit, he made the moon disappear.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to be nice to this guy, because he needs to bring the moon back. Mm-hmm. And then the next night, the moon comes back, and you're like, I guess it worked.
He did it.
And it's like, no, baby, the moon would have come back if you did nothing.
Yeah.
The moon was doing its own thing, regardless of what this guy said. And it just sort of feels like that's where we're at.
Yeah.
And we're in the world where people are like, well, if this worked, I must be magic.
Yeah. Speaking of the disillusionment of life.
Seamless segue. Seamless.
Let's take it back to 1993.
Oh, what a year. The year we wish we were 20. The year specifically I wish I was 19 years old. Leonardo DiCaprio was 19. Johnny Depp was some age, also young.
Like, early 20s.
Early 20s. And the movie, What's Eating Gilbert Grape comes out.
Yeah.
It was directed by, I'm gonna pronounce this wrong, Lasse Hallström? Lasse Hallström?
He directed Chocolat.
Yes. And also produced by a bunch of other Swedish-sounding names. Also, music done by a bunch of Swedish guy named Bjorn Isselfot.
Music's beautiful.
Cinematography, Swedish. All of it's Swedish, except for the actors.
That's basically. So interesting.
Yeah.
It's set in Iowa.
Yeah, and it was filmed in the United States.
It was filmed in Texas.
Its budget was $11 million. It only made $10 million in the U.S., so it didn't actually recoup its budget. I think by now it's almost definitely recouped its budget.
Oh, yeah, it's like a cult classic now.
Yeah, but at the time...
Because, of course, now Leonardo DiCaprio and Johnny Depp are, like, two of the biggest names in show business.
And John C. Reilly's in it.
Yeah.
Like, Julia Lewis, all these people. Yeah, it did not recoup its budget at the time, but I think it's fair to say that that means nothing.
No, I'm sure it's gone down in history as a very popular film.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's culturally relevant.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's talk about the plot. In the small town of Indora, Iowa, Gilbert Grape, played by Johnny Depp, is busy caring for Arnie, played by Leonardo DiCaprio. His mentally impaired brother, as they wait for... is busy caring for Arnie. His mentally impaired brother, as they wait for the mini tourist trailers to pass through town during an annual Airstreamers Club gathering at a nearby recreational area. Mm-hmm. His father had hanged himself 7 years earlier, and since then his mother, Bonnie, Darlene Cates, that's the actress, has spent most of her days on the couch watching TV and eating. With Bonnie's morbid obesity leaving her unable to care for her children on her own, Gilbert has taken responsibility for repairing the old house and looking after Arnie, who has a habit of climbing the town water tower. The house was built by their father.
Yeah, and it's really structurally unsound. His dad was obviously incredibly depressed from the way that Gilbert talks about him.
Yeah, when they first talk about him, they say his mom hung him. They say, we hung him out to dry 17 years ago.
And Arnie is 17.
So at first you're like, Did he die 17 years ago? But it doesn't ever go into the specifics, but it sounds like something catastrophic happened to him 17 years ago.
I think that means that Arnie was born.
Yeah, or he lost his job or something, maybe.
I think that he probably just took Arnie being born...
really hard.
Really hard.
That's rough.
And then 10 years later, he killed himself.
Yes.
But Gilbert talks about him in a way saying that he was, like, dead before he was dead.
Yeah, they do not discuss what happens to him to, like, make him so depressed, but we know that at some point they say 7 years ago. Like, for a long time they kind of don't talk about it, but then at some point Arnie
come down here, and Arnie's like, no, dad's in there.
Oh, yeah, and then at some point...
And then Arnie, like, takes his dog tag or whatever and, like, pretends to hang himself.
Yeah, and at some point, like, John C. Reilly and Gilbert Grape are, like, talking, and he's like, yeah, it's been, like, what, 7 years? And then you're like, okay, he died 7 years ago. Because at first you're like, what happened to this man? Also, hung him out to dry is maybe, like, the worst phrase you could have used.
Yeah.
When he literally hung himself.
True.
Very confusing.
Very confusing.
But hung him out to dry usually means, like, left him or something, you know. You know what the phrase means, probably. But he climbs the water tower a lot, while his sisters Amy and Ellen do the rest. The relationship between the brothers is of both care and protection, as Gilbert continually enforces a nobody-touches-Arnie policy. A new Foodland supermarket has opened, threatening the small Lamson grocery where Gilbert works. In addition, Gilbert is having an affair with a married woman, Betty Carver. The family is looking forward to Arnie's 18th birthday. A young woman named Becky, played by Juliette Lewis, and her mother are stuck in town when the International Harvester Travelall pulling their trailer breaks down. Their travel trailer breaks down, basically. I don't know why they...
Yeah, they're just passing through, but it breaks down, and Gilbert and her start becoming friends, because she's very kind to Arnie.
Gilbert's unusual life circumstances threaten to get in the way of their budding romance. In order to spend time with Becky to watch the sunset, Gilbert leaves Arnie alone in the bath.
This is really sad.
This is definitely, like, streamlining this plot. So,
yeah,
I guess because it would be really boring to describe, but...
It's not boring when you watch it.
No, but basically, like, Gilbert is in charge of, like, completely in charge of Arnie, basically. Mm-hmm. And he works for most of the house.
Yes, and, yeah, he works, he, like, pays the bills, and he repairs the house, and he takes all the care of Arnie.
Yeah.
And his older sister,
is the cooks, and she cleans.
And then his younger sister is working at, like, an ice cream store, assuming.
Right, but she's only 16, so she also goes to school.
Yeah.
And they do have an older brother, but he's not in the movie, and it's, like, he left, basically. He, like, went to college and then never came back, essentially. Yeah. But, yeah, so basically, Gilbert's in charge of, like, everything.
Basically. And he does nothing for himself.
No,
he's,
never.
Like, incredibly selfless.
Yeah, and so, but there is a time, so after he and Betty meet.
Becky,
sorry. Arnie is supposed to get a bath, and this is Gilbert's job, but basically Gilbert's like, you can do it by yourself.
And you're so a big boy.
And so he tells him, like, you know, clean yourself.
This is how you do it.
And so, anyway, he goes to hang out with Arnie.
Becky,
dang it. And he leaves Arnie in the bath. He returns home late and finds that Arnie is still in the bath the following morning, shivering and now in the now cold water. His guilt is compounded by his family's anger and Arnie's subsequent aquaphobia. So yeah, Arnie
does not like the water. He doesn't want to bathe.
Yeah. His affair with Betty ends when this is his... Betty and Becky, I hate that. So yeah, Betty's the woman he's sleeping with who's married.
I would blame the book on that.
Becky is the one that he likes. Is young, that's not married.
Yes.
Oh, that's so dumb. Don't do that. Why would they do that to me? Why would they do that to me? I'm already really bad with names and everything. I'm like, I know what they look like, but their names, I did not. I know Gilbert Grape because it's in the title.
With Johnny Depp's face on the front.
And that's all I remember. Everyone else is, to me, the mom, the old sister. That's how I remember them. Yeah. His affair with Betty ends when she leaves town in search of a new life following her husband's death, who drowned in the family's wading pool after suffering a heart attack. So, let's talk about that.
Okay, so, basically, like, they're having this affair, and then at one point, he's kind of growing away from her and kind of going more towards Becky, because she's age-appropriate and very nice, and so he starts liking
and
her.
And not married with children.
Exactly. And at one point, Betty sees him at, like, the ice cream store with Becky. And then she calls in for a delivery for Gilbert to make a delivery, and he comes... And she, like, starts to give him a blowjob while he's, like, while her husband calls him.
She tricks him into calling her husband.
Yes.
Who's been trying to get a hold of him for a long time.
Yeah.
Who is, like, maybe not 100% onto their affair, but, like...
Probably suspicious.
Definitely suspicious. Doesn't like Gilbert that much. And so she gets him on the phone, starts giving him a blowjob while he's on the phone, basically forcing him to agree to meet her husband. Then he's like, well, now I have to go meet your fucking husband.
And she's like, don't walk out that door.
And she's like, don't. And it's like, well, it's because of you that this is happening. And she's like, it's that girl. And he's like, no, I literally have to go meet your husband now because
you made me call.
Made me call it. It's so, I'm like, what is in this lady's head? So then he goes, he meets with the husband. The husband gives this weird, ominous speech about why he needs life insurance.
Yes, her husband's like a life insurance salesman.
So it's kind of like weird because you're like, is he genuinely just giving him a pitch for life insurance because he doesn't have it?
Or is he threatening him?
But we'll never know because the phone, his meeting is cut short by Betty calling, basically being like, I don't know, the house is on fire or something?
Yeah, she's crying.
She's upset. And he's like, okay, I'll come home. He comes home. That and Gilbert has to give him a ride because Betty has the car.
Mm-hmm.
So awkward. Gilbert drives him there. The house is like smoking. Full of smoke.
She's outside.
Betty's outside sobbing. He's like, what's happening? Where are the kids? He goes inside, gets the kids out, and takes these cookies, is what she was baking, out of the oven. And is like... being the best husband of all time. And
he's like, they're fine.
And he's like, they're good. And he eats one, which is disgusting.
Yeah.
And his kids wanted a pool, so he bought them a little wading pool. And then he's like, get in the pool, have fun. And he's like upset. And then Gilbert's like, I'm gonna go. And then that night, or at some point, I think before he leaves, she comes up and she's like, so it's over. And
yeah,
she's like,
yeah, basically.
Yeah,
and asks her or whatever, like, why me? Why did you pick me? And she's like, because I knew you would never leave.
She's basically like, I know you'd be really easy to manipulate and that you're so lonely that I could just take advantage of you.
You don't
forever.
Get any attention from anyone in your family. You get no affection.
I just knew you'd never ask me for more.
Yeah. Because you're just happy to have the attention.
Yeah. So, you know, shitty. And then...
And she's like 40 and he's like 24.
Yeah, literally. So, Then he leaves, and that night, apparently,
it's very dubious.
Apparently, the husband has a heart attack
and falls
face first into the kiddie pool, the little wading pool, and drowns.
But everyone thinks that she killed
him. But everyone thinks she killed him. Personally, I still don't know if I don't believe she killed him.
I don't know. It could be either way, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, she, when you talk to her, it seems like she didn't do it, but also, duh.
Yeah.
Who would ever be like,
ha ha ha. Exactly.
And now I've got his money. No. So, she ends up leaving town. They have a very nice little moment where she, like, talks to him and is like, I am glad that you're my wife, and I hope my kids turn out like you. And
yeah.
He's like, okay, thanks.
And she, like, kisses him goodbye.
And then,
she looks at Becky and is like, he's all yours.
And then, yeah, and then Becky's like, are you gonna miss her? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I will miss her. Like, but not that much. So.
Yeah. And she was his companion for, like, years.
Years. So Becky becomes close to both Gilbert and Arnie. While they are distracted during one of their talks, Arnie returns to the water tower that he's always trying to climb. Which, by the way, this is, for me, the most unrealistic part of the movie.
Oh, yeah, this is 100% the most unrealistic.
At all times, I understand this is a small town, but there are multiple times where we see the water tower in the background of a shot. It's so far away.
Mm-hmm.
Miles away. And somehow, in, like, the 10 to 15 minutes that people stop paying attention to Arnie, he somehow got into the water tower, which is, like, 5 miles away. He sprinted to the water tower in 15 minutes and managed to climb up it in a mere matter of moments.
Yeah.
Moments! And this happens multiple times in the movie, where somehow he gets so far in such a short amount of time.
It's true. So one time he gets all the way to the top of the
water
tower.
Yeah, and I understand that he has, like, boundless energy.
Yeah.
But he gets
so far.
Unreal. Like, the Flash. Jeez, I mean, this kid, we should be like, if this kid is this fast, he needs to be in the Olympics. Like, literally, we need to be...
He could win the Special Olympics.
We need to be repping America, because this guy is incredibly fast. But yeah, he gets to the water tower. Arnie is arrested after being rescued from the top of the tower.
Which, so annoying.
Oh, it is really annoying.
Because, like, what's that? What good is that gonna do? He doesn't understand why he's getting punished.
And here's the thing. The cops realize that, like, this is worthless,
mm-hmm.
because, like, he doesn't know any better.
He doesn't understand. He's like a kid.
He doesn't really know any better. And they, but basically, it's more, it feels like it's more to punish the family than it is to punish him.
Yeah.
Because they don't do anything to him. They literally just take him, put him in a holding cell,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. They let him, like, you know, do whatever. But then, like, yeah, I don't know why they arrest him. I mean, I do, but I don't.
Yeah, so, it's annoying. Because Gilbert keeps saying, like, it's never going to happen again, it's never going to happen again, but then,
like,
it keeps happening.
It's clearly going to happen again. It's kind of just like, why don't you raise the ladder?
Why don't you just raise the ladder?
A little bit. Why don't you just, like, tiny bit raise the ladder? I mean,
easy fix.
Water towers now, you can't just climb them.
Yeah, exactly.
Because people climbed them
too
much. So, I don't know how this was never thought of, but okay. So, this causes his mother, who has not left the house in over 7 years, to leave, to become the object of pointing and laughing and gawking from the townspeople as she goes to the police station, forcing Arnie's release.
So sad.
It's a very sad part of the movie. Soon after, Arnie tries to run away from his bath, and in his frustration, Gilbert finally snaps, hitting Arnie several times. It's very sad. Guilty and appalled at himself, Gilbert runs out and drives away in his truck without another word. Arnie also runs out and goes to Becky, who takes care of him for the evening, and helps him overcome his aquaphobia.
Yeah, she, like, gets him to swim in the lake with her and clean himself.
Until he is picked up by his sisters. Also, the reason he's trying to make him take a bath is because it's his birthday tomorrow, and this is, like, let me give you some events leading up to this. His sister makes a cake. Arnie runs through, makes her drop the cake. She spent, like, all day baking this cake.
Yeah.
She can't make another one. She doesn't have the time. So he has to go to Foodland.
Gilbert has to go to Foodland.
And purchase a cake, which was made for them, like, they ordered it from Foodland.
It's like Walmart.
During this time, he runs into his boss coming out of the Foodland, which also means his boss drops out the Foodland.
No, actually, it means that his boss was just driving past the Foodland to stare at it enviously. Damn yeah. you, Foodland.
Stupid food. Who is that Gilbert? Fuck. And his boss doesn't react well, despite the fact that it's clearly a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Like,
what else could he do? You don't sell cakes.
So then he pays $20 for this cake, which is a lot.
Which is a lot for them.
Then they put the cake in the fridge, and he's like, don't eat the cake.
He's like, it's not Arnie. For, like, you have to wait till tomorrow.
And Arnie eats the cake. Not all of it, but he does ruin it.
It's very sad.
And they're pissed. And Gilbert's like, do you know how much that cost? And Arnie doesn't.
Yeah.
So then he's like, okay, well, all you're going to do is take a freaking bath, because tomorrow is your 18th birthday.
And people are coming over.
And Gilbert doesn't want to, because he's scared of the water. And Arnie doesn't want to. Arnie doesn't want to, because of what happened where Gilbert left him. And he freaks out.
And Gilbert hits him, like, 3 times.
Yeah, and it makes him bleed.
And he gets really upset because, Gilbert's whole thing is, like, don't hurt Arnie.
Right.
Because he doesn't understand why he's being hurt. Hurt,
yeah. So, yeah. After some soul searching, Arnie gets picked up by his sisters, who are out looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
After some soul searching, aided by Becky, Gilbert returns home during the birthday party to make amends with his family for running out and to be forgiven by Arnie, with only the slightest hesitation, he is.
Mm-hmm.
He apologizes to his mother for his behavior and promises that he is not ashamed of her and he will not let her be hurt anymore.
Oh my god, that scene where, like, so his mom basically, like, goes up to her bed.
No, this is not it. Not it. His mom hides in the house during the party because she's so embarrassed by what happened when she went to the police station that essentially she refuses to let people see her.
Yeah.
So the party happens entirely outside.
Mm-hmm.
And she's ashamed of people seeing her. So Gilbert comes after all this to apologize to her about running off and leaving Arnie. And she's like, you shouldn't have done that. And he's like, I know.
Like, you can't disappear. I can't. And she said, I can't lose another one.
Yeah. She thought he was going to go kill himself. Which he wasn't. He was just going to go be sad.
Yeah.
But then he basically apologizes to her about
Mocking her
and calling her fat all these years. And then he says, I'm not ashamed of you. Like, I've never been ashamed of you.
I love you.
And she's like, okay, we are always forgiven. So she admits to Gilbert that her knowledge of what a burden she has become to the... She admits to knowledge... I'm having a stroke. She admits to Gilbert her knowledge of what a burden she has become to the family, and he forgives her. Then he introduces her to Becky, something he had been very reluctant to do earlier.
She is in the room at this point.
No, she's not. He had to go get her. Remember, she came. He talks to her, and then he goes back outside, and her trailer comes, and he's like, come on, there's someone I want you to meet.
You're right.
And then they come in, and she meets him, and it's really a sweet exchange.
Becky's really nice. And
Becky's really nice. She's like, I haven't always been like this. And she's like, well, I haven't always been like this. And then they're like, ah-ha-ha. And then the scene cuts. Following Arnie's 18th birthday, Bonnie climbs. So this is really sad. So after all this happens, Bonnie gets, like, inspired to try and
climb the stairs. She hasn't done, like, 7 years.
Yeah, basically she just wants to, like, make her life better, right?
Yeah, like, this is her first step.
This is her first step. So Bonnie is climbing the stairs to her bedroom for the first time since her husband's suicide. Arnie later tries to wake her. Oh, also, I want to point out that there's a really nice scene after she climbs the bed between her and Gilbert where
she's like, you're my knight in shimmering armor.
Yeah. And then he's like, I think you mean shining. And she's like, nah, shimmering, you glow. Which is a kind of a weird exchange, in my opinion, but it's nice.
It's like, they love each other.
It feels very,
It's like her thanking him for all the work that he has done.
The dialogue doesn't feel very realistic, but it is sweet.
The acting is really good.
The acting's great. So, it kind of makes up for the hyper-unrealistic dialogue. Arnie later tries to wake her, but discovers that she has died.
Oh my god, that scene where he's like, Mama, wake up.
Yeah, it's...
And he doesn't understand.
He basically thinks she's pranking him.
Yeah, she's like, why are you doing this? Making
fun of her, yeah. The children, not willing to let their mother become the joke of the town by having her corpse lifted from the house by crane, empty their family home of possessions and set it on fire with her in it, burning her to ashes and the house down.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't want... The only reason they're in this house is because of their mom, right?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. The house is...
Structurally unsound.
Super structurally unsound. In fact, at the party... Okay, so in, like, the middle of the movie or so, John C. Reilly...
He's a carpenter.
By the way, we don't talk about his friends in this movie nearly enough in the synopsis.
It's so true. We'll talk about him.
His friend, played by John C. Reilly, is, like, a carpenter who also really wants to work at a burger barn.
He's obsessed with burger barns.
But essentially, like, at one point, his mom gets really upset and is stomping on the ground, and he notices that the ground is like
giving
when she does. So he calls over his friend, and his friend comes and is like, okay, this house is not well built. This could go out at any time.
Yeah.
So he's like, I will come by tomorrow and I will basically like put up a bunch of like structurally sound things that will help make this like house fixed. And he's like, okay, cool. So then they have to be really frightened. They're all really scared about walking on the floor. But then eventually John C. Reilly comes and puts up the beams and all's good. But then at the party, while they're literally at the party, he is talking to John C. Reilly. And John C. Reilly's like, your whole foundation is structurally unsound. Like, we're going to need to go in and, like, completely basically repair this. And, like, it is a
big... We're going to redo the whole thing.
Basically redo the whole house from, like, the ground up.
Yeah.
And so this house is, like, way more of a burden than anything.
It has horrible memories.
Their mom... The only reason they're basically staying in this town at all is because their mom couldn't leave, essentially. Mm-hmm. And this is also the house where their dad... This is their house their dad built. Not well.
Yeah.
It's the house where their dad killed himself. Mm-hmm. So it also has those really bad memories. And it's the house they've all basically been trapped in for 7 years because they've had to parent their own parent.
Yeah.
So they... Burning it down is, like, not at all a sad moment.
No, it's very cathartic.
The only thing that's sad about it is, like, that the mom, I guess, has to get burned up, but who really cares?
I mean, I'm sure she was fine with it.
She's dead.
Yeah.
So her opinion really doesn't matter.
Exactly.
And
they did it for her. Like, they didn't want her to become a town joke because obviously this entire small town would come out. Yeah,
I think it's Ellen. Ellen's the young one.
Yeah.
I think. Okay. Ellen is, like, they're all in the room, and they're basically trying to figure out what to do, and Ellen just goes, everyone's gonna stare.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's gonna be here. Which is, like, really funny that they're all, like, complaining about that, because throughout the movie, anytime something bad happens at all, they're also always there.
Yeah.
Like, to watch it. Mm-hmm. Apparently this town has literally nothing better to do. Well, like,
I think this family's kind of a pariah, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. This is the family with, like, the mentally handicapped son, and the fat mom, and the dead dad, and the, like, loser kids that never leave, like, all this stuff. So, yeah. So a year later, fast forward, a year later, Gilbert describes what happened to his family after his mother's death. Amy's managing a bakery while Ellen's looking forward to switching schools. As I guess Ellen's going to be moving with Amy.
Yeah, so they'll...
So they'll be living together. As Gilbert and his brother Arnie wait on the side of the road for Becky, who arrives with her grandmother and picks them up. So they stayed in for the rest of the year, basically waiting for... Becky and her grandma to come back for the new
Airstream conference.
Yeah. Which is, I guess, a thing in this world. And they get picked up, and they basically, it's implied that they just travel around with them.
Yeah, Gilbert and Becky take care of Arnie.
Yeah, probably.
And it's really, like, throughout the whole movie, like, Arnie keeps saying, I'm a miracle, because he wasn't supposed to live past 10.
Yeah.
And now he's, like, 19.
Yeah. It's really, I think what's something that's really sweet is, during a lot of the movie, it's kind of like, you're kind of like, oh, they can't really do anything because of Arnie. Because Arnie is the person that for most of the movie is, like, causing a lot of the, like, surface level problems for them. Where it's like, ah, oh, Arnie's
getting into trouble. He's climbing the
ladder tower. He's like, we can't
eat the cake.
Exactly. It's like, he's not taking a bath. Like, all these things. And it's like, Arnie's this, like, problem. It's like, kind of, it's almost like, oh, Arnie's making everybody's life worse. Mm-hmm. But when in reality... It's not Arnie. Arnie's not the problem at all. Arnie is incredibly easy to deal with if it's not for... It's their mom that's the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is that their children having to take care of not only Arnie, but also their mother. Who's supposed to take care of them. So it's... And have been for years because...
7 years.
7 years. So, I mean, like, Amy's, what, the oldest?
Yeah.
And she's... So she's probably, like, 26.
Mm-hmm.
So that means she was, like, 19 when her father died. So she, like, couldn't leave.
Yeah.
And so all these...
And then their older brother leaves, and then Gilbert's, like, the man of the house, right?
Right, and so when... And he's only 24, so he would have been, like, pretty young. Like, teen, basically, when his dad died. Arnie was 10.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of one of those things where it's... It's, like... I don't want to say, like, throughout the movie, you're kind of like, oh, they would be, Gilbert would be so much better off without Arnie. He would be, like, so much happier. Like, poor Gilbert, sacrificing everything. Mm-hmm. But the thing is like, and this is an interesting thing, too. I think the movie never really implies that anyone feels like Arnie is a burden.
Yeah, they all love him so much. Yeah,
nobody's ever like, huh, if only we didn't have Arnie, we could just do what we wanted. It's more like, if only we didn't have to take care of our mom, we could just do what we wanted.
Exactly, that's really, like, their issue, is, like, taking care of their mother, and they can't leave. They can't do anything.
Yeah, it's really sad, too, because their mom, like, their mom isn't a bad person by any means. Like, she loves her kids.
She's aware that she's, like, not where she's supposed to be.
She loves her children so much. She really does just want what's best for them. But it's, like, one of those things where, it's like, after her husband killed himself, she was clearly just very distraught. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of got, like,
to a point where she couldn't stop.
Out of control. Yeah, and mm-hmm. it's, like, now she's 400 pounds, and, like, when you're 400 pounds, like, doing things is really difficult, mm-hmm. and it's really difficult to lose that much weight because just things like walking are hard.
And that you can't work out.
Exactly. It's, like, just doing, like, things like that are very difficult, and so it is one of those things where she kind of realizes, like, I am an undue burden to my children, but I don't know what to do about it, mm-hmm. and so... And she's never, like, it's interesting, she's never mean to her kids.
Yeah.
She's just basically, like...
Sometimes she's mean to Gilbert, but, like...
But it's more just, like, getting upset. It's more like your mom just, like, gets mad at you and is stressed. Like, it's not like she hits them or...
Exactly,
like, she's, like, cook my food. Yeah. Like, she's very much, like, grateful for the help that they give her. Yeah,
she's,
like,
she always says, thank you, kids. You're so
helpful.
Yeah.
All these things. But it's also kind of a problem because, right, like... Her kids.
She's the mom and she's supposed to take care of them.
It is a problem, right? Like, she is a burden to her family. Yeah. And they say, like, no, you're not a burden, but it's like, yeah, she is a burden.
Yeah.
She is stopping them from leaving. She is why they're staying. Mm-hmm. She is costing them money. She is making them live in an unsafe environment. Like, she herself, like, they have to worry about all this other stuff. And it's kind of sad, but it's like, when she dies, it's very sad. But really, the only reason it's sad is because Arnie finds her.
Yeah, if anyone else had found her,
I don't even think it would have been sad. Because honestly, like, the nicest thing she ever did for them was die.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's very sad.
Like, it's horrible, but it's like, that is the kindest thing she could do for her kids is to...
Let them go.
Let them leave. And it's like, everyone's life after she dies is kind of, like, exponentially better.
Yeah.
So... It is interesting in that way, where it's, like, sad, but not sad.
Yeah, it's very bittersweet, this movie.
I really thought Arnie was gonna die, guys, and I was not ready for that. I'd never seen this, mm-hmm. and I had only ever seen, like, the American parodies of it.
Yeah, the American Dad parody.
Yeah, the American Dad parody. I mean, there are other parodies of it, too, of course, but mainly of that one scene.
Where he finds his mom.
And I was like, oh, no. But I just, like, he's gonna die, he's gonna fall off the water tower, the house is gonna collapse, and she's gonna collapse down the stairs, like, what's gonna happen? Turns out she just has a heart attack and dies in her sleep, basically from the strain of the exercise.
And then Arnie and Gilbert, you know, get to travel with Becky.
Yeah, and then they get to see Becky. I thought Becky was going to be gone. Nope.
Yeah, it's a pretty happy ending, honestly.
Yeah, and it's really like a good... I think the worst part about it is really just, like, Gilbert, right? Like, Gilbert constantly...
Gives everything up. For his family.
To make other people, happier.
There's this scene where, like, Becky asks him, say, what do you want? And say it as fast as you can. And he takes so long. And then he's like, I want a new house for the family. I want a new brain for Arnie. I want my mom to take an aerobics class. And I want Ellen to go to a good school. And she's like, but what do you want for you?
And he's like, I don't know. This is too hard.
He's like, no one's ever asked me that.
Yeah. He's like, this is too hard. I'm not playing anymore. But then by the end, he does, like... What he wants is, like, a good relationship with his mom and mm-hmm. to, like, not hate his mom, basically. Yeah.
Not resent his mom.
And it's interesting because, like, they do all kind of get that, right? Like, they all sort of get their wishes. Yeah. I mean, other than Arnie does not get a new brain, but...
He lives with Gilbert.
And the thing is, like, Gilbert's very good at taking care of Arnie. He's clearly the only person, other than Becky, but he's clearly the only person who understands... how to deal with Arnie.
Like, Ellen has no idea how to deal with Arnie. There's a scene where, like, she, like, hits him.
Yeah, Ellen and Amy are both way too aggressive with Arnie. They're mm-hmm. kind of like, why don't you get it? But Gilbert, like...
Understands
that Arnie can't get it.
He never will.
And not only that, but you just have to do things different with him. He can understand things, but you have to do things with him differently. Mm-hmm. And Becky, I think, understands that too, just by, like, I think their natures are very similar and that they're very patient and calm and kind people. And that's what makes them good to deal with Arnie's, like, situation. But also, Arnie obviously loves them, which helps.
Yeah. And I think that scene, like, it's so easy to forgive Gilbert, that scene where he hits Arnie, because, like,
you understand,
like, his situation has been the same for 7 years, and he has been single-handedly taking care of his brother.
Right, and he's not, like, mad at Arnie. He's just so frustrated,
and Arnie was there.
Right. It's just, like, the straw that breaks the camel's back is, like, Arnie refusing to take the bath.
Yeah, it's like everything. It's not just Arnie.
Arnie pulls his hair or something, and
Arnie pulls Gilbert's hair.
Gilbert's hair, and Gilbert gets really upset.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's one of those things too. Something else that's kind of interesting to me is Gilbert's not like 100% good. It's definitely like Becky and Gilbert together will be great.
Yeah,
because Gilbert's not 100% good. I mean, there's. Instead of, like, helping Arnie get over his fear of water, he just doesn't make him take a bath for, like, weeks.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not good either. That's bad. That's, like, a form of neglect for many children. So, being like, oh, he's scared of water, so let him stink.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no. Mm-hmm. You have to do what, like, Becky does, where she basically convinces him to jump into a pool, which is not, like, the bath, right? Yeah. But in the end, it helps him
understand
that he's not afraid of water, that was just one bad experience. And obviously Gilbert leaving Arnie in the bathtub in the first place is not good, because you're like, well, maybe if you wanted him to take a bath on his own, you should have gave that a trial run.
You should have shown him.
And the trial run shouldn't be when you're not at the house.
Yeah.
Like, your trial run should be, like, just stepping out of the room and checking on it.
But also, he's 24 and he doesn't have any training on how to deal with...
Yeah, and you also understand that it's, like, it's a selfish reason, but, like, he's never selfish. So the one time he is, you're not like, ah, Gilbert.
Always being selfish.
You're like, okay, it was not like Ellen did that.
Exactly.
Then you'd be mad. I hate Ellen. I mean, I don't hate her, but oh my god, she's definitely the worst one in the family. You're like, Ellen, shut up. Oh my god, could you be worse?
Do you want some trivia?
I would love some trivia.
Okay. When getting into the character, Leonardo DiCaprio remarked, I had to do a lot of research to get into the mind of somebody like Arnie. I spent a few days at a home for mentally disabled teens. We just talked and I watched their mannerisms. People have these expectations that mentally impaired children are really crazy, but that isn't so. It's refreshing to see them because everything's so new to them.
Hmm.
Leonardo DiCaprio said that playing Arnie Grape was the most fun he'd ever had. Leonardo DiCaprio created Arnie's trademark flicking his finger against his nose, describing it as a sort of brain wipe, like Arnie is massaging the inside of his brain, which is interesting. Darlene Cates, who plays the mom, had not left her house in 5 years at the time of the film's release. Some of Bonnie's problems mirrored those in Cates' life, for example, people staring at her, teasing her, and retreating from wide society. Johnny Depp felt bad about having to ridicule Darlene Cates' character, Mama, and would often apologize to her after shooting. Depp once said to Cates, "Man, I want you to know how much I hated having to say those things about you or about your character." Johnny Depp admitted that he got easily irritated by co-star Leonardo DiCaprio during the filming of the movie. In an interview, Depp said, "It was a hard time for me, that film, for some reason. I don't know why. I tortured Leonardo DiCaprio. I really did. He was always talking about these video games, you know? I told you it was kind of a dark period. No, I will not give you a drag of my cigarette while you hide from your mother again, Leo," Depp concluded. "I'd say the absolute truth is that I respect Leo a lot. He worked really hard on that film and I spent a lot of time researching. He came to set and was ready to work and all had all of his ducks in a row."
He was just like, we didn't get along.
I mean, he was like a kid.
Right.
Despite the fact that animal protection agents were on set to monitor the well-being of the grasshopper Arnie decapitates in the letterbox, Leonardo DiCaprio accidentally ended up killing it anyway. Martin Scorsese first became aware of Leonardo DiCaprio after seeing him in this film one night when watching TV. He had also been told about him by his friend and frequent collaborator Robert De Niro, who worked with DiCaprio on This Boy's Life. Scorsese and DiCaprio would later go on to work together on 5 films. During the scene where Darlene Cates...
Soon to be, maybe one day if COVID ever happens.
True. During the scene where Darlene Cates' mama climbed the staircase, she climbed only the first 2 or 3 steps. This footage was reused to show her climbing the entire staircase. The room that served as her upstairs bedroom was actually a downstairs room. I know, it's really sad. Director picked Johnny Depp to play Gilbert Grape because of the way he can express so much emotion through his face and eyes without saying anything. Gilbert doesn't say a lot because he's very selfless and doesn't really think about himself.
He's a really quiet guy, too.
Yeah. The picture on Grape's on the Grape's refrigerator of a young Bonnie Grape, Mama, is a real picture of Darlene Cates as a young woman. I know.
It's even sadder.
I know. Leonardo DiCaprio really did not bathe during the period in filming when Arnie refused to go in the water.
Why?
I don't know.
I hate that.
I know. Johnny Depp dared Leonardo DiCaprio to sniff a rancid pickled egg and paid DiCaprio $500 when he did.
Just to sniff it?
Yeah. I was
I understand, eating it, $500, sure, but sniffing it?
I know.
That seems a lot. I would sniff it for way less than that.
Leonardo DiCaprio played the part of Arnie Grape so well that when he showed up at the film's premiere, many people were shocked and astonished to learn that the young actor was not mentally disabled. This film marks the first Oscar nomination for Leonardo DiCaprio. It was the film's sole nomination.
And his first subsequent loss.
Johnny Depp wanted to play Gilbert Grape as someone who seems constantly half asleep or half awake. Someone numb to the peculiarities of life. Juliette Lewis completely agreed with his interpretation of the character. Even still, Depp worried he was boring by playing Gilbert so mildly. The director, however, agreed with Lewis and thought Depp nailed the part. I agree.
Oh, I agree too.
He was very, withdrawn, and I think that's, a huge part of what Gilbert is.
There's enough noise in the movie.
Yeah.
He's fine without it.
Leonardo DiCaprio chose to do this movie over Hocus Pocus.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if that was the right call. I mean, I think Hocus Pocus is definitely more culturally relevant.
Yeah.
Who is he gonna play?
Probably.
The kid?
Yeah. I think so. Well, no, the Beans, right? The cat?
Oh, Binks?
Binks.
He's going to play Binks. Never mind. Binks is fine. I thought he was going to play the kid. Whatever his name is. Zach.
I think he was
Zachary.
Too old. Probably too old. But I think he played Binks. He was going to play Binks, I mean.
He would have. No, I didn't. Never mind. I don't care about that. Yeah, better show your face on a screen than to voice act a cat.
True. What would you give this movie?
Oh, 9 out of 10.
Very good. I give it a 10 out of 10. I watched this a ton as a kid. I loved it.
Very good.
It's very good. It's very well done.
Most of the reviews for this that were bad, there weren't a lot. Basically, were just this is boring. Which I was like, okay. I mean, that's boring. A boring review. So, this is the best one I could find. There is one that basically is everyone was brilliant, but I got very tired of having to watch a mentally challenged kid. And I was like, well, that's the movie, so I don't know what you want.
Well, don't you think it'd be exhausting,
to take,
isn't that the point? That you, relate to Gilbert?
I'm annoyed. And it was well, yeah, that is what happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
1 out of 10, this is not that one. 1 out of 10, boring movie, badly thought out. Love Johnny Depp or Leonardo DiCaprio? Then this movie is not for you. They star in one of the worst films I've ever watched. What's Eating Gilbert Grape? They star in one of the worst movies I've ever watched. This is a review for What's Eating Gilbert Grape. So yes, we know. Their performances... My cats are knocking against the door. Their performances by the actors Johnny Depp and Leonardo DiCaprio is good. I give many credits to Leonardo DiCaprio for his acting. He acted like a mentally R-word person. I couldn't tell... It was fake. The plot is very different compared to all the action movies we love from Hollywood.
What? Of course it is. It's not an action movie. It's like a drama.
They go on for a long time saying basically nothing. The Grapes are already troubled from the start, and things just get worse.
Well, yeah.
It may have a star-studded lineup, but the actual story is out of date for this time. It is set in a fake town called Endora in Iowa, USA. The acting is exceptionally good. Which you just said. They've said the acting's good 3 times, but then also said that they hate the movie because of Leonardo DiCaprio and Johnny Depp. They've now said, 2x, the acting is really good from Leonardo DiCaprio and Johnny Depp, but the very first line is, like Johnny Depp or Leonardo DiCaprio, then this is not a movie for you.
They're great in it.
But...
Obviously, that's the two parts you like the most.
And also, they've now said that the acting from these two, specifically, is excellent. 2x. Leonardo DiCaprio does a good job acting as a mentally R-word person. Johnny Depp is not serious enough to play this role of the main character. He is still renowned for his humor.
What? He was, one second.
This is like one of his first movies
This
ever.
Was one of his first movies. He did Edward Scissorhands, which is also like a dramedy.
Yeah, this was like his, right after Edward Scissorhands. I would say this is in like his dramatic peak almost.
Oh yeah, this was like.
This is
like,
a dramatic
This
moment.
Is where he kind of went from like teen idol to like actual serious actor.
Yeah, and also the stuff he had been doing was like still pretty dramatic.
Let's see.
It wasn't comedy.
So he made his film debut in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right.
And then he was in
A horror. So not a comedy.
Then he was in Crybaby, comedy. Edward Scissorhands, dramedy. Arizona Dream, drama. Then What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
So he's been in one comedy.
Yeah.
Which is still like
It's more, a musical comedy.
It's more of a cult classic too. Than
yeah.
That. Okay. So, all right. People who love seeing Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean movies series will be disappointed.
This came out way before that.
He's like a grown adult when that happened. Like, way old.
This is like early 20s. This is when he was in his early 20s.
As Johnny Depp tries to be a very serious person, which he is not, it is advised to the Pirates of the Caribbean fans and others not to watch this film.
I've actually heard that Johnny Depp's a pretty serious guy.
I
heard he's really quiet.
He does a lot of drama. I'm confused. It's not like Johnny Depp is a mainly comedic actor.
Not at all.
I would say he's very diverse. I would say he does about an equal amount of dramas and comedies.
Definitely.
Like, yes, he's done many comedies and, like, musicals and stuff like that, but, like, Sweeney Todd's dramatic.
Yeah.
It's a dramatic musical, but...
Definitely.
I don't know. the funny remarks that Johnny Depp makes to the obese actress Darlene Kate, who plays Mama, are funny. Especially the line, "She is a whale."
What? That's like why you're... What? That's why, like, whenever he apologizes to her, it's so, like, nice. Is because you're mad
at... Because
it's mean.
There are many stereotypes shown. That Americans are fat and love eating fat is in this movie.
No one else is fat but her.
She's the only person that's fat. Another stereotype that is shown is Americans' love for fast food. That is never talked about.
John C. Reilly is the only one who's obsessed.
And that's just more like a weird personality trait.
That's kind of funny.
It's not about anybody's like, oh my god, the burger bar.
It's just kind of funny that like John C. Reilly is a carpenter obsessed with burger bar.
He's like, I'm going to give up my carpentry job to flip burgers. Like the opposite of what people
He's
do.
He's so happy about it.
The director... I'm going to pronounce this wrong again. Lasse Hallström has brought his Swedish filmmaking styles and have used very awkward camera shots in this movie. Oh, you know those Swedes with their awkward camera
angles. I did not notice any awkward camera shots.
The cameramen in this film were lazy. They used the same shot, wide shot, for those interested. For most of the film. Wide shot for those actually interested. Okay. Also featured in this film is the weird Juliette Lewis. She is probably the worst actress in this film. She is unattractive and uninteresting. Her life is so perfect, which is very fake.
What? They don't really talk about
her life.
Her life.
Also, she's in an Airstream with her grandma.
They just talk about how she loves to travel.
And she can. She's 24.
Yeah.
So she can do what she wants. She's just traveling with her G-ma.
What's the big deal? Like, her grandma was like, I've been in the same place forever.
Absolutely my favorite part of the movie is when they're sitting at dinner. They're eating watermelon and, like, quinoa. And her grandma's like, I stayed in the same place pretty much all my life. Why? Doesn't matter. And I was like,
nobody asked. Nobody and, like, asked. Gilbert and Becky are, like, eating their watermelon.
Why? Doesn't matter. I was like, yeah, it really doesn't. I was like, clearly that's for the audience there. It literally felt like she was... saying to the audience, I'm not going to reveal the backstory.
Yeah.
Okay. I give this film 1 star for the acting that Leonardo DiCaprio, Johnny Depp, and Darlene Cates, which saved this film from getting nothing. So, Leonardo DiCaprio, Johnny Depp, and Darlene Cates were so good that the film got one star. Instead of 0, which you can't give on IMDb,
Listen,
by the way.
Wouldn't that be like 3 stars? Because like...
So, one is the lowest score you can give on IMDb. You can't give it a 0.
But 3 of the main actors were phenomenal.
So I'm going to give it the lowest score. Instead of the imaginary lower score. This is a very badly finished film with a very laid back and pathetic plot. The screenplay is pathetic. It highly lacks pizzazz.
Imagine
the screenplay with pizzazz.
We're going to tell a story about a depressed man in rural Iowa, and it has pizzazz!
It's a musical. This is one of the worst ways to waste 113 minutes, thanks to Swedish director Lasse Hallström. This movie is a mix of slow plot, plus good acting, plus corny lines, times laughter, divided by a little bit of romance. And that equals boring.
That's like everything you could want in a movie.
Good acting, good lines, good cinematography, good screenplay. Boring.
Boring.
Some romance? No.
Nope. Not interested.
Not interested.
Ugh. Well, this is our first Johnny Depp movie. He was, listen, I wasn't the type of kid to have, like, you know, like, posters of men on my walls, but I definitely had a poster of Johnny Depp on my wall.
I had a poster of Robert Pattinson as Edward Cullen.
Oh, I like that.
That's a scary poster, though. It's yeah. The one from, I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about, because many of you probably had it, which is the poster that came out from the first Twilight with Robert Pattinson as Edward with his eyes so topaz, and then it says Edward underneath it, and, like, I had that on my closet, and sometimes I would wake up in the middle of the night, and I'd be like, oh my god, so scary. I was like, I should have been Team Jacob that first movie, because I would have been a lot less scary. Weird that there were, like, Team Jacob posters during the first Twilight, because Jacob hadn't even entered the ring yet.
Yeah, New Moon was whenever he entered the ring.
Yeah.
When he got the haircut.
Which is where, like, you know, I was Team Edward for, like, all my life, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then when we rewatched those for the podcast and for Patreon, I kind of realized that, like, that's so stupid. Because yeah. Jacob is clearly the better option. Mm-hmm. And that clearly at the end they were like, well,
might as well make him a pedophile.
We got to, because otherwise people are going to be mad that she didn't end up with him since he's clearly the better option. I mean, don't get me wrong. Edward's tortured and that's sad. Because
and that's hot.
Because I want to fix him. But, yeah. And the fact that Bella does fix him is hot. But but also, like, Jacob fixed Bella, which is also hot.
Yes.
And a lot better for Bella, in my opinion.
Very true.
Edward's like...
Also, Jacob's warm.
Yeah, also, Edward's and Bella's sex really scares me, so...
It's terrifying.
I don't like it.
It's really scary.
And she had to have that scary baby. She could have had a normal baby if she had Jacob. Honestly, Edward just put her through a lot of shit.
It's true.
From the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Shit that Jacob never would have put her through.
I'm going to run away to Italy.
He's like, I'm kind of scared. I know that I already, like, put a pack of vampires on your back, but, like, I think I'm going to go to Italy. And I'm going to, like, break up with you in the woods in, like, a really dramatic way. And then I'm going to leave you out there to fucking starve. He's literally like, I'm such a klutz. And he's like, well, let me abandon you in these woods then, in the nighttime. You'll be good, right?
You'll be fine.
You're not going to fall? Okay. Yep. Anyway, I guess my end thoughts are Team Jacob was the right team.
Yeah, on Gilbert Grape.
And that Gilbert Grape is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Bye.